from. To be redeemed is to be set free from the oppressions of many different directions. So first let me tell you about Patricia. Patricia was addicted to toxic relationships, you can say, and a lifestyle that enslaved her. And one night she had a dream. She dreamed she was stuck at the bottom of a deep pit, up to her waist in human excrement. What a lovely dream. And at the top of the pit were her parents, looking down. They were Christians, but this is her dream, remember. But Patricia had rejected faith. And they were broken-hearted, and they were praying, watching their daughter stuck in her refuse. She saw her friends up there saying, "If only you can get out of this." And worse still, she saw Sunday school Jesus, if you know what I mean. White robe, blue sash, blonde hair, you know. The old-fashioned picture. And Jesus got a rope and began to lower himself into the pit. He got down and looked at her, and she says, "Great. Now we're both stuck." She thought, there's nothing worse than being stuck in a pit with Sunday school Jesus. But Jesus smiled in her dream and said, "Yeah, we're stuck, but I know the way out." He showed her a hidden trapdoor. And from then, Patricia turned her life around. Jesus is central to the story of freedom as far as Christians are concerned, not just spiritually, but in real life. Galatians 5 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." We've sang that already. "Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." When you're stuck in oppression, there are so many different sorts of oppression, but you can't free yourself, can you? You sort of go round and round in this circle of not knowing what to do. Jesus has done something that we can't. The trouble is, we often say, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free," and we stop. But there's no full stop in the text. The meaning is, Jesus set us free, so be free. Do your bit. Live in it. Jesus did that for you and me, what we could not do, and we are invited to share in that. And then it says, "Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And Paul wrote this to people, remember, who allowed religion itself to become an oppressive weight. But oppression has 1,000 flavors. A morning cup of coffee can enslave you. When you're on your 8th cup and you've got the shakes. Oppressive systems can keep people poor in places where coffee is grown. That's why buying fair trade is important. Almost every pleasure can become, if we're not careful, an oppression. You kick the bottle, you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, then you discover sugar. Paul says the nature of oppression is to keep coming back. So be vigilant, he says. Wake up. Oppressive habits and systems and practices keep coming back in many forms unless you let Jesus work in and with you. 1 John 3 says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." And then if Jesus had a business card, it would say these next words: "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." I mean, by devil, you can picture the devil how you like. But I also mean the enemy of our freedom in Christ, in whatever form that comes, with systems of oppression and injustice and sin, those things that keep us stuck, keep us broken, keep us in those pits where we feel we can't do anything. And what's interesting, I think, is, because I'm like that, is that the Greek word translated destroy, you know, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." The word destroy means to loosen, to destroy or loosen the devil's work. It's a hot day and you're wearing a thick woolen jumper. That's what oppression can feel like. and then a thread comes loose, and you hear your mother say, "Don't pull that!" What happens? It unravels the knitting. That's the image that is being used there. Jesus comes to unravel, to undo the works of evil. We get to share in this, to participate in this, to work alongside, to move forward. Oppression works in different ways, doesn't it? Maybe you're struggling with one at the moment. Different things. Chocoholic. I don't know. I'm so pedantic, I think you shouldn't say chocoholic, because the aholic comes from alcohol. There's no alcohol in chocolate. Well, there is at times. But you should be a chocolitic. But anyway, maybe you're struggling with an oppression. So I want to just quickly give four principles, which I've read about and I think may help. One, start to believe it's possible to be free. One way oppression chokes life from us is when we start to agree with it. You know, you agree it's impossible to live another way. I can't possibly do this. It's impossible to kick that habit. You know, it's impossible to stop watching the porn. Impossible to move on from shame. Impossible to get into a non-toxic relationship. You know, the Israelites in Egypt were in that state where they believed there was no other possibility but to serve Pharaoh. Moses came and he declared freedom and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And things got worse. And the Israelites told Moses, "Cut it out. Stop this freedom talk, because it's not possible." And we can fall for that. If I agree with the oppression, I'll live a better way. But to pull the thread of oppression is to agree with God that we were made for better, made to be free, made to be God's, and nothing worse. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray, what did he say? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Does heaven have children dying of poverty? Or people stuck in toxic relationships, or drug addicts, or workaholics who just can't seem to stop? Are we praying that and not imagining a world where children don't starve to death? To believe it's possible is one of the principles to move forward. Principle two is don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Nearly every time, you know, when God and humans interact, God says, "Don't be afraid." In Exodus 1, oppression begins to take over the Israelites, and it's based on fear. All oppression is based on fear. The Israelites are afraid of the consequences, afraid of Pharaoh, afraid of the system, afraid of each other, afraid of Moses. Yet it's fascinating that Pharaoh oppressed the Israelites because he was afraid of them. Did you read that? Oh, what if? Then they'll turn against us. If fear is your motivator, you are either being oppressed or are an oppressor. Do not be afraid, God says. And that's one way we remove that. But how can we do it? Well, what does Scripture say drives out fear? Love. It's God working with us. We needn't confront fear by ourselves. One reason we're together. One reason we have elders and we have members and we work together as a fellowship is so that we don't have to confront things like this by ourselves. Belinda had been sexually exploited since she was young. True story. Surviving on the streets. And then she met Jesus. She was hungry to be free. Her minister helped her, but one trauma in her life kept coming back. She would have nightmares of a former pimp saying what he would do to her, and she would wake screaming. And one day she was praying with her minister when her former pimp showed up in her head, threatening her. She was terrified and didn't want to pray anymore. And I don't want to do this. But her minister said, "Why don't we invite Jesus to show you where he is? go in your mind to where this bully is threatening you and ask Jesus to show you where he is inside there. So she goes back into that scene where she's terrified, and the minister prays, Jesus, show Belinda where you are now. And Belinda suddenly starts laughing. The minister asks what's happening, and Belinda says, he showed up in front of me, between me and the bully. He goes before us and behind us. He's a fortress. You can run into him and be safe. And the minister asks, well, what's funny? And Belinda says, I'm hugging his left calf. He's much bigger than I thought. And the bully ran away from Jesus in her head. When God called, Moses went, it's impossible. And God said, it's not because I'm God. And Moses argued, but it's Pharaoh. He's a great superpower. How can I do that? And God said, I'll be with you. In other words, you can't, but we can. The only way to make fear leave is to do it with the presence of God and with those people he puts around us. God, who is perfect love, casts out fear. It's no good saying, I'm not afraid. Rather say, I'm afraid. Jesus, please come with me. And we can confront this together. Then principle three is start now and start with you. Some people seem to say, I'd do anything to have the perfect body except diet and exercise. We do this with freedom in many ways. It's a process. You may have lived with 30 years with something that's been oppressing you, something you can't get out of. It'll take work to sort it. It took 9 months to get the Israelites out of Egypt and 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. Removing oppression takes time. That's okay as long as we're participating with the presence of love in God and with each other. Start now and with you. There needs to be commitment, uncovering, replacing new patterns. You may need help from the church, from friends. You may need counseling. You may need intervention from toxic relationships, from the way you do things. Did you see the film 12 Years a Slave? Yeah. A tough film in many ways. Oliver, an African, was captured and sold into slavery. And in one scene, he's taken in a ship to be sold with other Africans. And one says, there's only 7 people commanding this ship. If we move together, we could take over and sail to freedom. But someone else says, no, there'll be a better time. We should wait. Oliver decides it's better to wait. But the longer you wait, the less opportune time comes. Soon he forgets even his own name and he becomes someone he didn't think was possible. It's the same with us, because whenever we want to put it off, saying, now's not the time because of, you know, this is a bad time to tell people about that sin, to seek help, I'll wait, and on and on we go. But there's only one good time to confront these things, and that's start working towards freedom, and that's now. Scripture says, today is the day, and now is the time. You know the story about civil rights in America with Rosa Parks on the bus? You know that old story? When Rosa Parks was asked later why she chose that time to not give up her seat on the bus, which sparked the civil rights movement in America, she said, I was tired. And the reporter said, what, you were so tired you couldn't get up? And she said, no, I was tired of giving in. Most of my life I've been told that if I gave in to oppression it would loosen. But that day I realized every single time I gave in it grew worse. Moses declared freedom, but things got worse before they got better. The Israelites told Moses, go away, you're making it worse. It might make your life worse for a bit, but it will be worth it. Freedom means confronting the little oppressions, the big oppressions, the things that affect our lives. But we don't have to battle alone. And the final principle, never give up. Freedom is not magical. You know, our culture is addicted to Disney myth. We think of God as a fairy godmother who sprinkles fairy dust and ta-da, we're free. But that's not scripture. God has done something on the cross, hasn't he? That's where our freedom starts. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Jesus revealed the thread. Now we are to work to pull it and undo it. And that takes time. Someone estimated, you know, there were 2.4 million Israelites in the Exodus. 2.4 million. No wonder Pharaoh was afraid. To get out would take ages. Simply getting across the Red Sea would take 30 days. Don't listen to Hollywood. It wasn't just while they were singing and everyone crossed. The sea doesn't split while they're just for a few seconds. One Sunday service, one prayer doesn't fix things like this. Freedom is a fight that takes time. Nelson Mandela said there was no better title for his autobiography than The Long Walk to Freedom. The Israelites get to the desert and complain, we'll die here. And we think, oh, they're ungrateful, complaining already. It's only been a couple of days. But they've been walking with their children and eating all their supplies for 40 days before they say that. Of course they complain. That's how it feels. It's hard and it's long, but we're going to freedom in Christ, outside and inside. Yes? Is there a part of your life where you think, I will always be oppressed by this? Ask God to help you to imagine it was for freedom that you were set free. Is there an area where you let fear dominate your actions? Invite Jesus to help you confront that fear. And talk to friends, talk to Christians. Fear is no longer our boss. We can be motivated by Jesus, who is love. Maybe you need to make a phone call to ask for help. Maybe you need to break off a certain relationship which is not good for you. Begin now. Ask Jesus and get some brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with you. Amen. We've done a lot today, which means the time has kicked on. But we're going to sing and then we're going to share in our intercessions and our communion together. Out of My Bondage. What a good title for the next song.